Somewhere in the shadows you'll find Jesus. Let me read you a testimony tonight just before we start the service. I believe it'll help your faith for these requests that we're going to read here just in a few minutes. The doctors had told Sister Gail Clark that she had a hemorrhage behind her right eye. She went back to the doctor on Thursday morning after she went up for prayer on Wednesday night. The doctors couldn't find anything wrong and was amazed. And Gail and Brother Sam want to praise God for His healing power. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, isn't God good? Oh, standing somewhere in the shadows. He's the friend. Yes, man, you'll know Him by. Oh, can we sing it one more time, church, with all your heart? Oh, standing somewhere
in the shadows,
you'll find Jesus. He's the friend. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And our brother and sister Binkley back in service with us this weekend. They were involved, I guess, in an accident last week. And Sister Binkley was diagnosed, but the Lord has made it possible for them to be back into service with us tonight. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. I believe a cyst at the base of her skull, something to that effect. And the Lord has just permitted them to be back in the house of God. Well, we're just serving a great big God. You know, we've got all kinds of situations, all kinds of problems, all kinds of things going on. But I'm going to tell you something. This is the best way to live. Living for Jesus is the best way to live. That's the only way to live. Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, I'm glad you're living right. I'm glad you guys are living right. You better play. Praise the Lord. Brother Terry, I'm glad you're living right, buddy. God bless you, buddy. Bobby, I'm glad you're living right. Amen. God bless you. Glad you're living right, brother. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Now turn around, shake somebody's hand again and say, let's all just live right for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hand. Lead it for me.
Yes.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look at these requests tonight, if you will. Sister Carol Reagan wants us to remember her aunt in prayer. Her name is Elizabeth. She's asked that we would pray for her. She has bone cancer, so we just want to commit that unto the Lord. We want to pray for Sister Vega tonight. She has a severe cough and requests prayer, so let's pray for that need. Sister Pauline Palmer, an unspoken prayer request for her. Brother Byron sends that in, so let's remember that need tonight. I want to remember Brother Tracy in prayer. He's going to be having gallbladder surgery on Monday at 11:30. Let's just pray for God's protection during the procedure. Brother Tracy, you've got to get back here and sing again for us. You just get healed up and get back here and sing again for us. Amen. I want to pray for Sister Yvetta Collins, who is sick, unable to be in the service tonight. Let's remember her in prayer. This is a prayer request for a Sister Grace, a Sister Margaret Wilkinson sends in. She's lost several loved ones in her family, her grandmother, grandfather, her husband, and just a lot of situations that she really needs a touch from the Lord, that the Lord would just undergird her with His loving care. So let's remember her tonight as we pray that God would be mindful of her. I want to pray for the family of Sister Linda Babb. Her stepfather passed away today in Florida. So let's pray for that need tonight, that the Lord would be with those folks. I want to pray for Sister Susan Olive. She has had two nerve blocks in her back for pain. And it seems like she has taken a turn for the worse since then. But we just pray that the Lord would be with our sister tonight. Brother Keith Phillips wants to give this testimony. The friend that he requested prayer for wants to thank God and thank you for praying. Her house sold and she found one for her financial situation. He wants to praise the Lord for that. She asked that you would remember her 17-year-old son. He's full of anger and has a rebellious spirit. So let's pray that God would touch that young man and be with him. Brother Phillips, Sister Brittany Elliott sends this in. Wednesday night we put in a prayer request for Patrick Dustin Whitaker and his mother, Rachel. Little Patrick was called home to be with the Lord at only 2 days old. Please keep the mother and father in your prayers, as well as the rest of the family. So let's remember those folks tonight as we pray. Sister Shirley Robbins has the flu. We'll remember her tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Warren Keith, who had a stroke also, for his salvation. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Now I want you to remember the family of Austin Arnold, a young boy, 16-year-old, that was killed last night in a car accident in Bristol. And also he was a passenger in the car. The driver, Ian Addison, was airlifted to a hospital. I don't know exactly which one, but they're asking that we would remember him in prayer, remember that family as they go through this time of their life. Also, our son-in-law, Blair Henley, is looking at, according to what they're saying, maybe having to have double knee replacement. So let's pray for Blair. Also, Peyton's still sick, needs a touch from the Lord. And my sister Beulah is back in the hospital. They're asking that we would pray for her tonight. I want to remember Janice Ledford in prayer, that the Lord would be with her. They admitted her to the hospital, found some problems in her body. They're asking that we would pray for her. And also want to pray for Brother Harold Buchanan, the Buchanan family, as Brother Harold suffers from cancer, but he's still holding on to the promises of God. So let's pray for him and that family, that the Lord would just be mindful of them tonight. And all the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about. Well, we know this. We've read a testimony here tonight, a couple of three, that the Lord has come on the scene for situations in people's lives. We almost read one every time we read these prayer requests, that the Lord has come on the scene. And he's still God here tonight. Whatever your need is, big or small, he is still God. Look around and tell somebody he's still God. Brother Amos, come tonight if you would. Pray. Invite the presence of our Lord into this service. We'll pray over these requests. We'll just commit all these things unto the Lord. Appreciate Brother Amos, don't we?
Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father God, we're so glad that we're living in this hour. Lord, what a better time that we could live be right now, Lord Jesus. And we're thankful, Lord Jesus, that we're so privileged tonight as your children, Lord Jesus. Father God, Lord, as we appreciate all the things you brought our way, Lord, I hold in my hand many requests, Lord Jesus. There was requests here tonight, Lord, for some that are sick in body, Lord, with cancer, Lord, and other sickness in their body. We know that you're the God of creation, Lord. And we know that the enemy would try to eat away. The enemy would try to destroy. But Lord, you've come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I pray for each and every one of these individuals, dear God. You know, Lord Jesus, where they stand with you, Lord God, of utmost importance. It is important that we recognize who we are, Lord, and what we stand for, what we have going for us, Lord. And I pray for each and every one of these individuals, some of them brothers and sisters, some of them potential brothers and sisters. Dear God, we pray that you would help them to recognize, according to your word and the revelation that's in their heart, where they stand with you, dear God, that they might take hold of the promise, Lord. Help them, Lord Jesus, we pray, God. We rebuke the power of the enemy that would try to destroy, to single them out, and to isolate them, and to work on them. We rebuke that power of Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. Those that are out there on the internet, Lord. Those that are here tonight, Lord. Those that will be joining us in the future by watching the video or the internet, dear God. We ask your blessing would be upon them, Lord. Over into Russia and these other places, Lord, where they're interpreting, Lord, these sermons, oh God, these services. We pray that your blessing would be with your children everywhere we pray. God bless our pastor tonight. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Brother Amos, God bless you tonight. Amen. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, you'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you here. Glad to have you tonight. Those that would be streaming, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. Are you glad you can say you're a child of the King? Oh, the rest of you come to realize that you are a child of the King. How many of you are glad you're a child of the King? Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, oh, so wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, then with wondrous compassion, the King.
With a heavenly home, my home.
stand by me. Stand by me. Let's sing this old song tonight, if you will. Stand by me. We ever seen a time in our lives that we need the Lord to stand by us? We need Him to stand by us today, Brother Terry. We certainly do.
When the storms of life are raging, oh, when the storms of life are raging,
stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea.
bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We're going to have a couple of songs. Brother Jackie Benton didn't know that he was going to sing, but he's fixing to sing for you. And I know he's got a song on his heart. I've never seen him when he didn't have a song on his heart. And then I believe Brother Chuck has a song after him. So we'll just enjoy our brothers tonight as they sing. How many of you appreciate Brother Jackie Benton? Amen.
Sing it. This is my testimony. Where would we be tonight without the touch of God on our lives? Amen. Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath the load of guilt and oh, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Aren't you glad for that touch tonight? Oh, it touched me. Oh, he touched me. Thank you, Lord. And oh, how the joy that floods my soul. Oh, something wonderful happened. And now I know, oh, it touched me. And he made me home. Thank you, Lord. Oh, since I've met this place, this Savior. Thank you. Oh, since he cleansed and made me whole. What are you going to do now? Oh, I will never cease to praise him. Hallelujah. I'm going to shout it all eternity. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. Hallelujah. The joy that floods my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, something wonderful happened. And now I know he touched me. And he made. Let it be your testimony tonight. Let's sing it one more time, will you? Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, something wonderful happened. And now, glory, I know, hallelujah. Oh, he touched me, and he made me whole. God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. I'll give you a prayer request. Thursday, I'm leaving for the Philippines. I covet your prayers that you'll pray for us. Amen. That God will give us protection, souls for our labor, a blessing to the saints of God there. We're going for the dedication of a new church for Brother Roy Soriana, and he asked us to come.
Amen. And dedicate to service. God bless you. We love you. Amen. To dedicate the church for the glory of the Lord. We love you tonight. God bless you.
You pray for me. My voice is a little bit scratchy tonight. May this just be all of our testimony as we're getting ready now for the most important part of the service. Every part's important. I don't think there's any part of this service that's not important. From the giving of the offerings to the worship of the saints, lifting of our hands. But we're looking now for the King to come out and speak to us directly. Let this be our prayer and our song as the King comes. It's too low. It's too low. Let me just try to start it.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now, and I surrender. All to Thee, my blessed.
Be something. Be able to surrender everything. Everything that hinders us, everything that gets in our way, everything that slows us down. Because we realize that God can only use what part that we surrender to Him, what we actually give. As we grow and as we go on in His goodness, that's what He's able to take of our lives. Let's turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Deacon brothers will be watching the snow outside, and I came around that way so I can kind of see what it's doing. And it looks like up to about 9 o'clock it's going to be snowing and then stopping and then maybe hit us again in the morning. So we better have church tonight. Because who knows, this might be the last chance we'll get anyway. That's why I want to go to church every time I go. As if though it's my last time. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through verses 5. I'd like to speak to you on the Spirit moved. The Spirit moved. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning or the first day. Luke chapter 15 verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's bow our heads together if you would. And let's pray over the word. Lord Jesus, once again we thank you, Father, that we can come together under the auspices of the word of this hour. A word which has a quickening power about it. It's more than theology. It's more than just something we discuss and talk about. But it actually has a supernatural element which can quicken the hearer and change them. So I pray tonight that you'd speak to us by your word, Lord. Help me that I can get out of the way, take this instrumentality and use it, Father, I pray, for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I always marvel at the Spirit of God, the way that He does things. I get into a cycle, and I'll listen to a sermon or two or three, whatever it is, and I'll sometimes go over and over and over and over and over and over on that sermon. And I'll listen to it until I've kind of moved out of that, and then I'll move into another one. In the last several weeks, I've been listening to the Easter Seal, and also it is the rising of the sun, both in Preach 1965, one 1465, and the other in 41865, about a week apart. And I've listened to the rising of the sun the most, but listening to it sometimes three, four, five, six times a day. So whenever I get done to it, I just go back and start it again, listen to it, and go back and start again, listen to it, and go back and start again. But something happened to me this week after my who knows how many times that I'd listened to it in the last several weeks, and something so stuck out to my heart that I hadn't noticed in all the multiple times that I'd listened to it before. And you know, we know that God does things that way. He's progressive in the way that he deals with us, and yet it makes you marvel every time that he does it, because you realize that you have two abilities to hear. So one part of you can hear and the other part isn't catching it. And then it can be vice versa, that one part is catching it when the other part is not actually hearing it. You know, you'll sit there and say, I didn't make sense of it. But yet something Dave said, you didn't make sense. Well, I got it. I understood it. So as I listened to this, the rising of the sun, and I heard Brother Branham make a couple of statements there, and I was down in the basement piddling around doing some woodworking, and I've got a notebook and things down there, so I wrote this down, and as the Spirit of God started dealing with my heart about it, just some things opened up, so I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it, and then I went up later and started looking at it and studying it, and I was just absolutely overwhelmed by what I began to see. Of the parallel of what God did in Genesis chapter 1 to what he was doing in Mark chapter 16, but also what he was doing in this parable, in this story that we've called the prodigal son. All of them, now to you it may not seem like that they're dealing with the same thing, but in reality they are. And in Genesis chapter 1, as we see the condition of the earth and the way that God had moved upon the earth, in there as I begin to look at it, I saw again the story of redemption, or the mystery of redemption in Genesis chapter 1. Now, we know that it's a very, very great passage of Scripture, but let me read this quote to you that we've been looking at before we go into Genesis 1, that we did not become seed by the rebirth, we were seed and therefore were reborn, for only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened in non-seed. There is nothing to quicken. Now, if this is a principle of God, and what Brother Brown said was a principle of God, and we believe that it was, don't we? Then that principle, once we find a principle of God, then it will run in perfect continuity all through the Word. Old Testament, New Testament, God wanted man to worship him, so God made a way through the perpetuation of an innocent sacrifice through the blood of an innocent one that runs right on down through today. So if we can find a principle of God and be able to tap into that, then it'll be the same yesterday, today, and forever, and follow perfect continuity. Now, whenever God had this in his mind of what that he wanted to do, in Genesis 1 it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now, we don't know exactly how many years or what a span of time that it was from verse 1 to verse 2. You know, they find chronologists and archaeologists and all kinds of folks, kind of all different kinds of things, that they date back to so many thousands of years and so many millions of years, and they are carbon 14 date it and say, well, it was this and that and the other. And then the creationists, so-called, they come in and say, well, no, that can't be right because the earth is only 6,000 years old. But now the Bible does not say the earth is only 6,000 years old. The earth might be many, many tens of thousands or even millions of years old. But whenever God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, it could have been millions and millions of years. Now when God, oh, y'all didn't know that? Now, whenever God starts expanding his creation of what he's going to do on the earth, then time begins. But whenever that actually started, who knows exactly when it was. But it could have been millions of years. But I want you to notice now in the condition that the earth is. And of all the stars that's out in the universe, the earth is the only one that we have recorded in the Bible that was left in this primeval condition. So you think if God did it that way, he must have done it for a reason. So then in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now verse 2. And the earth was without form. Now, isn't that strange? The earth was without form. Why would it be without form? Now God has brought it into creation by His Word. So why would He have left it in this chaotic condition without a form? That does not mean that it was not a sphere or it was not of a circular planet like we know it today. But yet if you look at the word form, it brings it into a little bit clearer view as far as what Moses was writing. The word form means confusion, emptiness, nothingness, empty space, a wasteland, a wilderness of solitary places, or a place of chaos. Now notice and read this now with that in mind. The earth was without form, so it was confused. It was empty, nothingness, empty space. Now keep in mind that we're going to see a parallel or the mystery of redemption out of this of what God was doing in the earth. Because the earth is a type of you. Now you may not see it, but you will in a little bit, so just be patient. The earth is actually a type of you. Now the earth in this chaotic condition is a very type of the way that God would deal with us thousands of years later. Now, whenever God created it and He left it, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So everything is in a stagnant, black, dark condition, and there's nothing really that you could be able to see around the earth. Now, as far as we know, according to the Bible, the earth is the only planet and the only star in all of the solar systems that the focus of God is left in this direction. So it isn't saying about Mercury, Pluto, or in the rest of the stars, only the earth itself. Now remember, the earth is your mother. So the earth is a type of you. So everything was left then in this stagnant, darkened, black condition. And there it was in such an utter chaos. But yet the Spirit of God in compassion moved toward this attribute called the earth. So notice that whenever He makes it, He does not make it in a perfect state in the original creation. Now listen to this. He does not make it in the perfect state when He said, let there be an earth, let there be this, let there be that. But whenever it come from His mind in this creative form, it was left in this state. Why? He does not do things without a reason. He does not do things without something motivating Him. So if this is going to be the very place you're going to live at and where you're going to come from, if He leaves it in this state of void and mass darkness and blackness upon it, there is a reason, a deeper reason, I believe, than what just contains upon the earth itself. There must be something about His plan that lays in the unfolding of the way He's dealing with this earth. Oh my. Notice, so it was a confusion, an emptiness, a place of chaos. So it's totally enveloped in darkness. Now, we'd be able to look at it. Here it is out there tumbling around, oh my, in utter chaos and darkness. Nothing but just a ball of water. Now, actually, when the darkness is upon it, nothing can really be seen. Nothing is visible. Yet there's seeds laying underneath all of this chaos. Now watch, there is such a striking resemblance between the earth and its pre-Eden condition in comparing you to your pre-conversion of your soul. Because look at the earth. In the earth lays all the seeds, all the good things that God will ever bring out of the earth. They are laying there in seed form. Yet looking at the earth from this state in Genesis 1-2, in the utter chaos and the void, and there was no inhabitants, there was no life, there was nothing there. But yet it was all in the potential of the seeds that was laying there. Now the seeds were already there. They were already there beneath the water. So the seed was present in the utter chaos. Glory! The seed was present in the utter darkness and the blackness. It was already there. So He is not only dealing with the earth per se, but He's dealing with an element of the mystery of redemption. He's writing out the mystery of your life, my friends.
Now watch how that Isaiah parallels darkness upon the earth to people. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. Now watch how he runs this, that there will be a darkness upon the earth and a deeper density of darkness upon the people, because the earth of course does not have a soul. So here the parallel runs that there would be a time that there would be darkness on the earth, and there would be even a greater degree of darkness which would be upon the people. But look at the latter half of this verse. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. Now notice how it makes God the resurrection or the rising of the sun. The Lord shall rise. Not the S-U-N shall arise upon thee, but the Lord himself. Now who is this? This is the beginner of light himself. So he, in a hue, oh glory to God, in human beings, he will raise upon those human beings and quicken that seed, and then where it will become alive again. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now watch this, and the earth, again Genesis 1-2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now here's a very wonderful revelation of God. It's a very eye-opening thing that we see. Now you have to look deep into the words to really understand, because in our English language you use a little bit of it. But the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now the word Spirit here, it's different than in the other applications in the Old Testament or the New. It is actually Ruach. Ruach, which is breath, wind of heaven, God's Spirit, inspiring ecstatic state of prophecy, imparting energy and executive and administrative power and energy of life. So the Spirit of God, now notice what attribute of God moved upon the earth in this utter chaos. If you'll see what he done to the earth, you'll see what must be done to you and I. God did not pass a book over the earth. He did not pass a preacher over the earth. He didn't pass a tape over the earth, nor a pastor, or a, come on now, he didn't pass an organ or a piano, but the Spirit of God moved across this earth. Oh, thank you, Lord. Ruach, Spirit of God. Now, the word of God, of course, is Elohim. So this is Ruach Elohim. It is the first outblossoming of the compound nature of God that is now being revealed. Now remember, this is before the revelation of the Lord God in Genesis 3. So this is now Ruach Elohim. So it is the breath of Elohim that is moving upon the face of the deep. Now he's giving this, oh my, his first intervention of this divine nature by which he's revealing himself in this way. Now this is the initial movement in the sublime working of the supernatural power of God, revealing his Godhead and power. So we see it doing what? Moving upon the face of the deep. So Ruach Elohim begins to move. Now watch, the Spirit of God move upon the face of the earth. David said it this way in Psalms 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. By the breath of his mouth. Again, Psalms 104:30, thou sendest forth thy Spirit, they are created, thou renewest the face of the earth. So here the earth was renewed or refreshed or regenerated by the Spirit of God. So it is Ruach Elohim who is actually bringing the earth to a birth. Glory. He is now renewing or refreshing the face of the earth. So apparently there was a time that the earth was not covered in this darkness and this abyss, but there was something that had happened and this chaos came upon the earth, and now the Spirit of God is renewing or refreshing the face of the earth. Can't you see your own life? Can't you see your own destiny written right there in the book of Genesis? Now here it is. Oh my, it's lifeless. Total darkness covering this ball of water. So the Spirit of God begins to move. Now it's amazing when you look at this word here that God moved upon the deep, which has received the creative seed But nothing can happen until there's something from Ruach Elohim that will move upon the conditions that's on the earth and change them and make them to where that seed can grow. Glory to God. Now, this Hebrew word here that is actually used here for moved is rechok, which is to grow soft, relax, to hover. Seem properly to signify to make a tremulous, fluttering motion. Such as that. Glory to God. I tell you what, I about tore the place up at home when I found this week. To such as that of an eagle fluttering over her nest. So what he's doing, he's making this tremulous type of emotion, and the compound Hebrew word here is to cherish over the young, or fluttering over the liquid elements. Oh my. So what's it doing? It's fluttering over it the order of demonstration of the power of God. Now everything is void, it's massive, there's no order to it, there's no divine order of God on the water, there's no divine order of God on anything. And yet God allowed it to come into this state that he might display his further creative power. Why did he start Moses there? Why didn't he start Moses after he had done brought the earth into a beautiful paradise? He wanted you to know. Amen. He wanted us to know down through time. Why did he not pick Moses up in the Garden of Eden? But he started Moses right here. Ruach Elohim. That he's air fluttering as an eagle over the earth. And he's tremulous shaking his wings. Hallelujah. Because the way you will come to him is exactly the same way. So the Spirit of God began to Brother Bam said in the beginning, when God our Father looked over this bleak earth, God sent the Holy Spirit to the earth. Lord Jesus. Notice this. It wasn't nothing but one great big ball of water. And God sent the Holy Spirit to the earth, the Logos, that went out of God. And it began to brood over the earth. Now the word brood means to make love. Or like the dove to coo. So here goes Ruach Elohim. Flutters down through the darkness and the utter chaos and the abyss that he finds the condition of the earth in. And he began to put his wings around her as it was and begin to shake him. Shake him. Now he's going to shake in such a way that what's laying beneath the waters will be pulled into an atmosphere or an environment. And he's going to set divine order in the earth. You understand, friend? This is why we was in such chaos when we were lost. We were lost because we were out of the divine order of God. And we needed some order in our lives. Oh, praise the Lord. And what does he do? He begins to coo over there. Now watch Brother Branham as he goes through this. He said, now the word brood means to make love or just to, like the dove, to coo. And the great Holy Spirit over the earth has a mental picture now. We're going to make it like wings with these great wings around the air. A brooding. Making love. Cooing. Now notice. Come. Come. The Father has ordained you. You mean to tell me Ruach Elohim begin to preach a message of predestination to the earth? Oh, glory to God! In order to bring it into divine order! So it begins to brood. Now listen what he's telling them. Come! Come! The Father has ordained you. Come! I'm coming to perform what the Father's word has said. Now notice the cooing. The cooing is bringing the earth to its position of adoption. The earth is not in its position. Now, as far as orbit, it was. But it was not in its position by image reflecting. God had in his mind something that he wanted the earth to be. It had not yet arrived. The darkness was not in his mind. Oh my, the chaos was not what he was thinking. The abyss was not what he was thinking. But order, life, inhabitants. This is what he's thinking. So the Spirit of God comes down and wraps his wings around the earth and goes, flattering. Come, come. The Father has ordained you come. I'm coming to perform what the Father's word has said. Brother Bam said, is it soaking him? I have come to manifest what the Father has spoken. Brood! And after a while, there began to come some petroleum moving across the earth. And a little bit of this, and a little bit of that, and a little Easter lily comes up out of the earth. What brought it? The Holy Spirit brooding. Why would he bring a lily first? Why an Easter lily? Why not an azalea? Rhododendron? Carnation? Chrysanthemum? What is a lily, the Easter lily, a significant sign of? Resurrection. Do you understand what God was doing? Breaking the first Easter seal. Now many of you are familiar with Easter seals, right? But any of you know where they come from. You know when it started. No. All right, I'll tell you. In Elyria, Ohio, in 1919, there was a businessman whose son was injured really, really bad in a streetcar accident. Because they didn't have a hospital nearby, this man's son lost his life. Well, this man sold his business, very wealthy businessman, sold his business, and went about to help people to be able to establish hospitals. So they built the first one in Elyria, Ohio. 1919, that's when he started this. Now it comes up in 1932, something like that, and he moves a little bit farther, starts the foundation for the crippled children, and then he comes on up and he takes on a new name. Now after the Great Depression, when it had been supported greatly by people, they come up with this idea of start sending out Easter seals. Now an artist had come up with the idea in order to render the Easter lily as a symbol of resurrection and life. So then in 1952, this become the symbol of this new organization. And every year in America, they send these Easter seals over 19 million homes. Now, it was birthed out of distress. It was birthed out of hurt. And this man found out as he began to travel around in America that many crippled children, many people that had afflictions and things like that, that were kind of pushed over in a corner. So out of despair, this man had an idea, glory to God, to be able to bring forth and help people that were in a similar situation. So what does he do? He comes up with this, and then they come with the Easter seal. And then what did God do there? Oh, hallelujah. God had something in his mind. It wasn't that we needed a hospital. We didn't need some medicine. We needed a birth. We needed a birth. So what did God do? He had the Holy Ghost to hover over the earth and bring out an Easter lily. The Holy Spirit brewed him. Then come along the dahlia, the azalea, the other bush. Then come the vegetation. God must have liked flowers before cucumbers. There come the trees, plant life, birds begin to fly from the dust of the earth. Now what's he doing? Come. Lord, I feel that spirit of that eagle on me again. Come. Come. The Father has ordained you. So he's brooding and brooding and brooding. He's brooding order. He is not sowing those seeds. Only creating an atmosphere where those seeds can come up. The Holy Spirit brooding them together and sent them into the air. Then along came the animal life, the Holy Spirit brooding. Now watch in Genesis chapter 1 verse 3. And God said, now in this utter chaos and this abyss, God said, let there be or, which is a Hebrew word for light. O-R-E, or. Now, the light of day, daybreak, dawn, morning light, or light of life. Now this is not the creation of the sun or the moon or the stars. This is the rising of the sun, not the creation of it. Now remember, the heavens had already been finished. But this is God moving glory. Moving what he calls or into a phase upon the earth. Now it pulls into divine order. So God says, let there be light. And there was light. Now let me prove this to you. This is not the creation of the sun. Brother Ben says the man can turn a light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It might have been 100 million or billion. Whew. Or whatever it was, how he done it, that's up to him to know, not me. But the world, well, the world was without form and void, and the water was upon the earth. Notice this now. And God moved the water and said, let there be light. Now I believe that the sun and so forth was already in existence. I believe the moon as it goes on in Genesis 3 to explain it. But I believe what was here, that the world, well, he's going to use it. And as it moved on, there was fog and mist all over the earth, making it dark. And God said, let there be light. And the darkness faded away and there was a cloudless sky. Notice again, he said, God's word always separates light from darkness, see? It's the word that does the separating, light from darkness. God ever does the same thing. Now listen to what he's doing to you. Do you understand what was shrouding that seed in your soul? Darkness. Do you see why a gospel song will not do it by itself? Shaking a preacher's hand won't do it. It must be the light of this day. There's only one thing that can drive the darkness away from us knowing who we are, and that's the Word. Don't you see why it's so important that we hear it? God ever does the same thing when he gets ready to use anything. Like he got ready to use this old star, whatever it was, the world. He had to separate the light from the darkness. When he gets ready to use a group of people, he has to separate the light from the darkness. When he gets ready to use an individual, it may hurt you too. Because it might be your family. Might be somebody that you've loved for years and years, and yet they won't go on, and you must. You may have to separate from them. That's right. Come on now. Don't get an attitude. Don't get mad. Don't get all upset at them. Just love them right on. But you've got to go. You've got to move. Amen. The word of God said, let there be light. And when there was no light, he sent the light to separate the darkness from the light. This word, listen to this, this word of command cleared the sky. So the sun could shine in. Okay, so we have a pre-existent sun. We have pre-existent seeds. All we need is the atmosphere on the earth to change. So the word of God comes by a command. He ain't asking. He's telling. He ain't asking the darkness, you want to gather in one place? He said, get out of here. Get on over in your dispensation called night. This word of command cleared the sky. Oh my. Cleared the sky. So the sun could shine in. And his word today is what clears back all of the atmospheres of unbelief. Now watch this in the fourth seal. Genesis 1 word, it said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. That's all. Now, he says the world was without form and void. As I said, I believe every seed was laying right there from some other civilization or something. And as soon as the water lifted off and the light struck it, up come the trees and everything. Now notice, the light did not place the seeds. The light did not create the seed. The light germatized the seed. The seed was already there. If you're going to place the new birth as you receive the seed when you get born, you've got the Genesis account backwards. Amen. Hallelujah. The Genesis account is that when the earth was in this abyss, the seed was already there. I believe every seed was laying there from some other civilization or something. Of course, this is where Phineas Dake and many of the theologians down through time call this condition of Genesis 1, 1 through 5, a pre-Adamite world. But somehow the condition of this earth, it had already existed and judgment struck it. Well, that's for theologians. That ain't for me. I don't know theologian. I don't know where all that come from. I don't know where them seeds was at. Was it a civilization here or was it a higher civilization? I don't know. I just know they was here. Now watch this. So they was there from some other civilization. As soon as the water lifted off and the light struck it, come the trees and everything. You mean all them tree seeds was laying here? All the flowers, all the vegetables, all the millions and millions of species of plants on the earth was there in seed form.
Yes, they was.
Ain't that wonderful? This is even more wonderful. Look at this next word statement. The same thing with the human being. It's a type. So the earth is a type. So God goes to setting his love toward the earth. Amen. And here the Spirit of God begins to brood over the earth. Brood over the earth and hover and cause those seeds. It was our friend, this is why. I have absolute total confidence in my Father that he will bring to pass every promised word of this hour. And he will get every attribute. I ain't got no confidence in your flesh. I ain't got none in mine. But I sure have confidence in his word. We've everyone failed him. We've everyone let him down. There ain't a preacher. There ain't a prophet. There ain't a righteous man that ain't failed him. But he can never fail himself. And his word will not fail. God has confidence in his word. Hallelujah. Ruach Elohim is brooding again. So it's the same thing with the human being. It's a type. Notice how he parallels you to the earth. When all the mist is moved away and the revealed truth to that real seed laying there still germatized, and the light of the gospel can strike it by a true vindication of the word, it'll live. It's got life in it. Outside of that, it can't live. It hasn't got no life in it. Notice in this next paragraph, the names that were put on the book of life before the foundation of the world will come forth just as sure as certain as anything. And that's why Jesus sits right there and waits with his mediatorial work until that last seed, not till 1963, until that last seed. God ain't held by a calendar. God's held by family ties. Glory. If there's another 1,000 seed laying there, he'll be a mediator until that 1,000 comes in. The last one may come in on Brother Benton's trip. The last one may be brought in this week with Brother Darren and down in Nicaragua. Who knows? But our Lord will remain right there in that position until the Holy Spirit has brewed that live seed out of the earth.
Can I go on a little farther?
Watch this. I love this. When God moved upon the water with light, the light brought forth the first presence of God. Spoken light came by God's word. Now listen to this carefully. The first presence of God Spoken light came by God's word. Spoken light came by God's word. And God's word is the only thing that still brings light. And when the waters went back, the seed was already in the earth. You say, how in the world could I have been out there drinking, running around smoking? And you're telling me, Brother Donnie, I had that. I don't understand it. Ask your mother. Mother Earth. She can tell you, yes, son, it can happen. Because I was in absolute utter chaos. You think you was in a bad shape, you wasn't nothing like I was in. You think you was a mess when God found you, you wasn't nothing, Brother Terry, in the mess that the earth was when God found her. Hallelujah! She was utter chaos. None of you ain't been that bad. Can you imagine the millions and millions of cubic yards of water? Can you imagine the utter darkness and chaos over this entire planet? It was billions and billions and billions of feet of water that covered it. Looked totally impossible for those seeds to ever come up. But he had in his mind an Eden. The word Eden means pleasure. When Sarah said about Abraham, shall I have Eden? The English word we use, pleasure. But Sarah said, shall I have Eden with my Lord? Because to God it was a pleasure to bring this to this state. There was billions of seeds laying beneath that water. How in the world you couldn't get a fan big enough? You couldn't get irrigation pumps big enough to pump it off. Where would you pump it to? So Ruach Elohim took one of the most strange, bizarre things to get rid of water. Eagle feathers. So he started brooding. Oh God. And cooing. Isn't it a strange thing? What's singing or do? So the Holy Ghost went to cooing to the earth. And you imagine as she lay there in this chaos. Oh, in a drunken stupor as it was. But something began to happen as he brooded and fluttered. This tremulous movement. As it moved upon her, and gallons of water began to move. Amen. Now his design was, let there be a firmament which shall divide the waters from the waters. Amen. This is his order. Now, when you look outside tonight and you see that snow falling from the heavens, actually, that's part of the original word. That firmament is the expanse above us. Now, you imagine when there was dew, rain, all of that, every bit of it that's ever fell, all of that was upon the earth. And God said, let there be a firmament that will divide the waters, let me say to you this way, that will divide the waters that will remain on the earth, separate from the waters that will come back upon the earth or those that will be suspended in the heavens. So the firmament will... the atmosphere above the earth. All the dew, the rain, the snow is held there. How? By firmament. An expanse of the spoken word. What if it all broke loose in one day? The whole earth would be a deluge again. But don't worry, it won't. The divine order of God will keep it there. Don't you see what happened in the days of Noah? God made a way for that divine order to allow the judgment of God to do. And the fountains of the deep broke up and the fountains of the expanse above the heavens opened up. And what did it do? It sent a deluge upon the earth. So what did God do? God is separating. There's parts about us, friend. We need... we need tests. We need tests. We need our faith proven. So instead of annihilating the water, God put an expanse. Hallelujah. Can anybody tell me where all the waters from the Mississippi River comes from? What about the Red River in Louisiana? What about the Amazon? Go to their beginning. I've been to the beginning of some great rivers. It's hardly nothing when you go to them. So then where's it come from? It's on an unending cycle of the expanse of the waters above and the water that's on it. And it will be on a sign. We're running out of water. We're running out of this. We're running out of that. Oh, come on. They need to come back and say, well, my daddy said about all this. Why? This is his order. This is what the Holy Spirit brooded over the earth. He brooded an order. Notice this. The seed was already in the earth. And the light only brought forth the seeds that remained with the germ in them. God making his creation. Now on Easter morning, there was another light struck the earth. Amen! When the Holy Spirit was given and is given to bring light to those seeds that God, by his foreknowledge, knew would be on the earth. As he knew the first natural seed, he knows where the spiritual seed is. Your body was laying right here on the earth when God first brought the earth into existence. So God is not only dealing with this planet as just a planet, but as his wife in the making. So our bodies were laying on the earth. Oh, praise the Lord. Our bodies are laying on the earth. So you're the seed of life then. The seed is holding around that. Why? Will all men not be quickened because that all parts of the earth have seed in it? No. There was portions of the earth that had no seed. Glory. Your body was laying right here on the earth when God first brought the earth into existence, and we are a part of the earth. We were laying here. And by his foreknowledge, he knew exactly who would love him and who would serve him and who would not. His foreknowledge tells that if it doesn't, then he isn't God. And he can't be God without being infinite. If he's infinite, he knows all things. How many believes that? When God moved and struck the sun across the earth, he knowed them palm trees. And everything was laying down under that water. But in what form? In seed form. Now, Power of Transformation in 1965, Brother Ben said, people get that mixed up in Genesis. Whenever God said, let there be, let there be, let there be, and yet there was nothing on the earth. He said that was God sowing his seeds. So God, being masculine, needed a feminist gender to receive his seeds. So he made the earth and called it a her. So God sows his seeds into the womb of the earth. Let there be, 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 let there be. And there laid the seeds in the womb of the earth. And there they were in her womb, covered with water. As you went outward, and her mother. And what began to break that alarms your mama not to scare your daddy to death? What? Water. So the breaking, glory to God, I feel like talking in tongues. When the water began to break around the womb, it was showing that you were fixing to come forth. And when the water, glory to God, when the water began to break off the earth, the womb of the earth was fixing to become a bedding ground by which the seeds of life would come forth. So God, broke the water. Lord, children, I'll tell you what, if this word keeps coming this way, we're going to be changed right here one Saturday night. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. Notice the rapture. In Genesis, when he planted them seeds down beneath the sea. So you imagine he leaves this earth in this void mass of the abyss. And in that condition, God sows his seed. Let there be. May fall hundreds of feet deep. And it falls down. Darkness is upon the face of the deep. And the abyss is so deep and so tumultuous. On the top, the waves are turning, rolling around as it was with Noah. But that little seed, when it came from the mouth of God, it had life. Now God thought about an oak. He thought pin oak and white oak and red oak. And God, when he thought about it, he thought the particular bark for a red oak. And he thought the shape of the leaf and the white oak and the palm tree and the locust and all them different ones. So when God thought of that, this is already in his thinking now. So before God ever planted the seed, he thought of the attribute, the cycle, the life cycle. Even how this tree or plant would react after the fall. Glory to God. So whenever it went out of his mouth, the kid said, oh, let me change that. I need to change that. So he grabbed that one back and said, I need to change that. No, whenever it left his mouth, it's exactly what he wanted it to be. So he said, let there be a Donnie Reagan. And when the water broke around me, and I was born July the 9th, 1956, that little seed of God, boom, representation. Now, many of you remember years ago whenever you used to buy pop, we call it Coke, Pepsi, whatever you want to call it. Some of the bottles, if you'd bring them back to the store, they'd give you so much money on them. You know, if it's written on the side of it, no deposit, no return. Well, God wanted to make sure there'd be some that would return, so he made a deposit. Woo! Glory! If you got a deposit, you will return! You can't keep from it, friend! This is what got me to thinking about this. The rising of the sun, paragraph 37. Now the sun, at the rising of the sun, well, there was a time when the world was laying in utter darkness. It was without form and void and was all covered over with water. Laying there in a dark, dismal, gloomy atmosphere. And the Spirit of God moved upon that water and said, let there be light. Now notice, he's done past the stage of seeds. He's not saying let there be seeds. That's already there. Let there be light. Amen. Let there be light. God had a reason to do that. For down beneath that water, there were seeds that he had planted. And it had to have that sunlight to make it live. So the seeds were already there. The light did not bring the seed. The message did not bring the seed. The Bible did not bring the seed. Glory to God. The seed was already there. Hallelujah. But the spoken word brings light on that seed to give you a verse. Hallelujah! Notice this paragraph 38. The first light that ever struck the earth was God's spoken word. He said, let there be light, and there was light. That turned darkness into light in order to bring forth a creation of joy and life upon the earth. And the Spirit of God, as it moved with love and compassion, at that great day, the first day of the dawn of creation. Mark chapter 16 verse 1 tells us that the first day of the week, very early in the morning, at the rising of the sun, do you understand what had happened?
Do you understand? When Jesus got up, the sun had now raised over God's eternal seats. For many of you, it would be thousands of years before you'd ever feel the effect. Wonder how long it took on that first morning. You imagine as the fog and the light of God says, let there be light. And the fog and the darkness is so thick, you could cut it with a knife. And the word began to permeate it and roll it back. Was it hours? Was it days? Weeks? We don't know. But then after it rolls it all away, you've got all that mud laying there. You got all that mess and muck. But the Spirit of God rolled it away. Who knows what come up first? The lily. Then the dahlia. Then the azalea. I told you that. Well, then the oak and then the walnut and then all these others. There might have been weeks or months before they actually started coming up. But you imagine as the earth started turning these beautiful greens and yellows, purples and reds. And it hadn't been but a year before that, sitting on a bar stool drinking. Wasn't even sure if there was a God. Lord Jesus. Well, what happened? The Spirit moved. Not the pastor moved, not the deacon board. The Spirit moved. This is why, my friends, we cannot replace the quickening of the seed by just bringing people to a knowledge of this message. It'll never do it. The same Spirit of God that moved on this earth in the beginning must continue to move on this earth and coo and brood and make a What will He say to you? Come.
Amen.
Come. The Father's ordained it. Come. Don't you understand what He's doing to us by the preaching of the Word? He's changing us from chicken thinking. Don't you tell me that little eagle down in that barnyard running under chicken thinking. Brother Bram said, he asked his mom, said, Mama, how do I get up there? That was chicken thinking, not eagle thinking. Brother Bram said, you can't get no higher than you jump. That's the way chicken thinks. But said, his mama said, you're an eagle to begin with, jump. Said he looked up there in the heavens and saw something that he reflected. Uh-oh, now he's seeing who he is. But he's got to see who she is and see his identity in her. And that'll give him rapture and faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah! As he sees that something about her and sees the same desire in him, it gave him rapturing faith to be able to rise above that barnyard. Ruha Elohim! Oh, glory! The breath of God is still breathing over the earth today. Those seeds of life. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. I'm so glad we was able to have church tonight, Lord. I figure I'd have probably blown up by in the morning if I couldn't have preached this tonight. Oh God, I thank you for your word. It's so wonderful, Jesus. It not only raised us, Lord, when we first was birthed under the influence of this word, but it's still quickening us today. The quickening is still going on, Lord God. We love you, Jesus. Go with your children now, Lord. Keep them by your grace, I pray, Father. In Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. I'm going to let you go in case the weather turns bad on you. We'll be here in the morning, Lord willing, hopefully. And if not, we'll continue it next week. We do have the advantage on the devil since we have eternal life and he don't. So however long it takes. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. The next time the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Amazing grace. How